Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, I was trying to tell my dad it might not be a bad thing to switch some things up because, you know, this time of year, old guys in fat guys in suits are kind of all over the place, you know? I was like, hey, let's change some things up. That terrible moment when you just wreck your first joke. Anyways. I tried. Anyways, so if you don't, those that know me well know I like to make a lot of sarcastic jokes, which is allowed in church, by the way, if you never knew. It is Christmas. We're supposed to have some fun here. So I know the Christmas story is pretty familiar to you. If it's not, you're either very young or maybe you have Alzheimer's or something. But sorry if that hits home a little edgy. Anyways, so we know the story of Jesus being born in a stable. Angels are singing, people praising. And it's the beginning of the story of God coming to earth as a man to save us. And rather than just read a story you've heard numerous times tonight, I want to focus on who Jesus is and the honor that is ours that we actually get to know him. And I don't want us to just go through the motions of yet another Christmas Eve service, just another Christmas holidays, but really to put our focus on the true reason for the season. And my hope is that as we're focusing on Jesus, that we can leave this place, every one of us, putting our hope in a risen Savior. See, Jesus is the real deal, and he's worthy of the utmost honor. So we're going to look at three selections of scripture around the Christmas story. I know that might seem like a lot, but don't worry. We'll just cruise right through it. And it'll cover a period of like 400 years, which is pretty wild. Anyways, and then I'm going to attempt to summarize the entire Bible in a few minutes here. So this is my Christmas present to you. I'll just wrap it in a bow here at the end. So I know you probably didn't get me anything. Don't feel bad. So these three passages of scripture, we're going to focus the whole Jesus being born thing, Jesus coming. So we're going to go back all the way to Isaiah. So this is in the Old Testament. That's the first half of the Bible. So 400 years before Jesus is born, there's this guy named Isaiah that is good buddies with God, and God will talk to him and say, hey, this is what's coming down the pipe. I need you to tell everybody. Then after that, we're going to move over to Luke 2. That is now in the New Testament, and that is one of the accounts of the famous Christmas story when Jesus is showing up. And specifically, we're going to focus on what are the angels themselves saying about Jesus? What is their message? And then we'll just move 10 verses past that, and we get to hear the story of a devout elderly man named Simeon. And he gets to hold baby Jesus in his arms and when Jesus visits the temple. So that's a few days after the traditional Christmas story. So we're stretching you a little bit this morning, afternoon. Sorry, I knew I was going to do that. This is what happens when you mostly are up here in morning. Anyway, so yeah, we're stretching you this morning. We're changing some things up, you know, change the melodies and a few old Christmas songs. Heard you guys sing the wrong words. That's okay. I knew that was going to come. But oh well. It's a Pentecostal church. We're not exactly known for being traditional. I like to change some things up once in a while. Anyways, if you look at the Christmas story in general, you're just going to see all these titles of Jesus, all these descriptors of who he is. And these three passages we're getting into, that's just going to frame the message we're having. So Isaiah 9, you're going to see it on the screen here in a second. Boom, there it is. All right, so starting from verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burdens from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. So again, this is 400 years before Jesus showed up. If you were to read a bunch of Isaiah, you'll see all sorts of crazy stuff that he is saying about this Jesus that is to come. And it's pretty unanimous amongst scholars that whoever they were writing about seems that Jesus fulfilled every single thing, and it's just really wild. So just a couple of the themes we're looking at here is we'll see Jesus compared to being a light in the darkness, guiding the way. See him being compared to finding a treasure, being of great value. Isaiah says that he's going to make Israel famous. He's also foretold as coming to be a rescuer of the oppressed and the enslaved. We see that the government will rest on his shoulder. That means he's large and in charge. That means he's the one that really has the authority. And also it says he's got the backing of the armies of heaven. So a bunch of angels are showing up with him, basically. So now we're fast forwarding 400 years, time traveling right here in church. They said it was impossible, but it's not. Anyways, Luke 2, here we go, verse 8. Now I'm skipping part of the Christmas story, but I'm sure you know it. This is when shepherds are hanging out in the fields, angels come visit. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." So we're getting a glimpse of heaven in this passage, and we see the angels are pretty jazzed for Jesus. It's the new hashtag for Christmas, by the way. Hashtag jazz for Jesus. Let's make it a thing. Old people are like, "What?" But don't worry about it. So anyways, Jesus is a pretty big deal up in heaven. They're rejoicing that he's coming. They're excited for what's going on. And just as, you know, Isaiah has foretold, the army of angels is showing up with Jesus, just as he said it would happen. You're also seeing the theme of Savior. So someone that's there to rescue or liberate. You're seeing the theme of Messiah, that's meaning someone there to be a promised deliverer. And also Lord, someone having authority, being a master, a leader, a ruler. And this is when we get to our third selection here. Promised you it wouldn't be that bad. We're just cruising this evening. I almost said this morning again. Anyways, my goodness. Okay, so we're now to this story. Jesus is being dedicated at the temple in Jerusalem. So he's been born at this point. We've exchanged the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Camels have maybe been there, whatever. We're now moving to this other scene that maybe you don't know because this isn't normally part of the Christmas story, but I felt like being radical this evening, you know? So there's this man, this is verse 25 of Luke 2. At the time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. That means God's talking to him. And it's revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." So again, we're seeing this first, the theme of salvation. Jesus bringing deliverance, especially from the consequence of sin. He's bringing redemption. Again, you're seeing that theme of Jesus being a light, especially one that reveals God, shows who God is. So again, there's similarities in this writing of Isaiah that was written 400 years before. And what's kind of interesting about Christianity, if anyone asks you, what's the difference between Christianity and all these other faiths that are out and about, it's this. So every other faith is about us trying to make our way to God, us trying to reconcile. We know that there's this gap in between us and God. And so everybody in all the different religions of the world are seemingly trying to bridge that gap. What's different about Christianity is rather than us trying to make our way to God, he came to us. He did something that we couldn't do, and he just came straight to us. And so if you ever want to know who gives us the best idea of who God is, well, how about when God himself showed up into history and he walked among this earth and he became the most famous person that ever lived? If you want to know who God is, get to know Jesus. It's a little aside, but also, so Simeon is saying that Jesus is going to be the glory of Israel. So Israel's a pretty tiny country, And Jesus put them on a map in a big way, again, just as Isaiah had said would happen. So this birth of Jesus, this whole story, it's a very monumental event. Such a big deal, in fact, that they were talking about it 400 years before it even happened. And that's just one guy. If you go through all the Bible and you study it, you'll see that Jesus' coming is just foreshadowed just continually. It's quite amazing when you think it's 66 books by a bunch of different authors written over, I think, a 1,500-year period, all coming together and saying, and there's a singular narrative that runs through it. So that's when you know God's involved. So tonight, I'm just taking some of these themes that we've just looked at, and I'm just going to tell you about who this Jesus is, that it was such a big deal that these people were talking about him, and that angels were showing up, and that this really devout and righteous old man was just waiting to meet him and was so excited that even when he was a baby, he recognized this is who we've been waiting for. And, you know, there's a lot of hubbub about Jesus, and I think it's my amazing privilege this morning to tell you about who he is and why he's so important. And the best part about it is we get to know him. So first of all, Jesus is God. He has always been and will always be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Long before the foundation of the world, he ruled and he reigned from the throne of heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Though we humans are the beloved creation of God, we're made in the very image of God, we have strayed from that image and we continue to stray from the lives that God intended us to live. But rather than just let us stumble through the dark, God himself has stepped in to save us. And this baby Jesus that was born in this stable in Bethlehem, he's unlike anyone that has ever or will ever set foot on this earth. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of the biggest rescue operation the world will ever know. It's the invasion of heaven to earth. See, Jesus left perfection in heaven, and he entered our world of imperfection. He left his divinity, and he embraced our humanity. Jesus left the throne room of heaven to be born in a stinky stable. He traded in his royal robes to be wrapped in rags. He left eternity and he entered time to be the hero that the world needs but does not deserve. And then Jesus lived an absolutely perfect life. Everywhere he walked, lives changed. The blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf heard. The rejected were accepted, the looked down upon were raised up to a place of honor. Those in bondage were set free. He walked on water. He calmed storms. He fed the hungry. He righteously took down the self-righteous. He cast out demons and he raised the dead. The word impossible isn't even a part of Jesus' vocabulary. See, his teachings were so good that they've been on the worldwide bestseller list for over 2,000 years. And then ultimately, Jesus defeated our greatest foe, death itself. He died to show us that even death couldn't hold him down. He borrowed a grave for 3 days and rose back to life, holding the very keys to death in his hands. He's the very king of the comeback. Jesus transformed our world and it has never been the same since. Jesus is the epitome of hope and the embodiment of peace. He's the greatest gift ever given. He's the good shepherd that takes care of us. He is faithful, he is true, he is just, he is fair. He's our great deliverer. He's our best friend. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's there in every moment of our life. Jesus is the chief cornerstone that we are to build our lives upon, our firm foundation. He's the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our paths. And he's the very light of the world. Whoever follows him doesn't have to walk in darkness any longer, but instead has the light of life. Whoever follows him has their sins forgiven. They have their slates wiped clean and they get to live with him in heaven forever. See, Jesus was born to die, and he did that so we could live. He came as a child so we could become the children of God. He was born so we could be born again. He came as a human to wrap humanity in his divinity. He gave us a new life, a new identity. He adopted us into the royal family of God, giving us an honor and a dignity that this world could never bestow upon us. And we get to know this Jesus. See, he's so much more than just this baby that's wrapped in cloth lying in a manger. There's so much more to the story than this cute little nativity scene. So he's the very savior of the world. He's the Messiah. He's the hero of our own stories. See, our hope today, notice in big letters, it's not in some dead guy. It isn't in someone that existed 2,000 years ago and then just disappeared. and now just exists in a collection of writings. No, our hope is in the one that conquered death and is with us this very evening. He's our living hope. He is our ever-present help in time of need. And if you don't know this Jesus, I'm telling you, do yourself a favor and accept the greatest gift that's ever been given. Become a part of the family of God. Walk in the new royal identity that God wants you to have. And I guarantee it'll be the best decision that you ever make. What we're going to do next is just enter this time of communion. And when Jesus was on this earth, he came up with this little ceremony, essentially. It's all designed for us to remember what Jesus did for us and who we now are in him and what our new identity is, and that he has made us children of God, and that we are brothers and sisters, and we're part of the royal family of heaven, and of how he's the greatest gift that there is. And it also reminds us that we don't even need to fear death, because Jesus has been there, done that, conquered that, and now he's preparing this amazing place for us for in eternity. And I'm telling you, it's going to be the best party of all time, and you want to be a part of it.